Welcome to the How To Dressage podcast, and in this episode we're going to look at how to improve mental suppleness in both horse and rider. So to be successful in dressage, your horse must be supple longitudinally and laterally, both of which we've talked about in previous podcast episodes. But both the horse and rider must be mentally supple too. But what exactly is mental suppleness and how can you improve it? That's what we're going to talk about in today's podcast episode. So firstly, what is mental suppleness? Well, mental suppleness is all about harmony, confidence and compliance of the horse to the rider's aids. Now, the horse should be flexible and accommodating in his approach to the new exercises or new situations. Now, if your horse is nervous, tense and afraid, he will tighten and hollow through his back. He may also stiffen against your aids to bend. So, you can see that mental suppleness relates directly to the longitudinal and lateral suppleness that we've talked about previously. Now, as for the rider, you need to also develop mental suppleness so that you are more creative in your work, more resilient to change, and more flexible in your thinking. So, what is the judge looking for? Well, when assessing mental suppleness of horse and rider, the dressage judge is looking for a harmonious partnership. The horse must be relaxed and confident, accepting the rider's aids obediently and cooperatively without showing any signs of tension or resistance. Now, the rider should appear confident too, and the whole picture should be of a happy cooperation. Now, if things don't go to plan, then the rider should adapt immediately to make the necessary adjustments, and the horse should be able to respond confidently and without hesitation. So how do you know when your horse is mentally supple? Well, let's start by looking at some of the signs that a horse is not mentally supple. Now, a horse that doesn't have mental suppleness will appear not to understand your aids for a dressage movement that he is familiar with when you ask it for in a different location, a new context, or in a different exercise. The horse will be surprised when you ask for a transition in a new context or location, and the horse will be surprised if you ask for a turn or a circle in a new place or location. Now, for example, in the home arena, say you ask for shoulder in on a circle, when he's accustomed to performing it on a straight line only, the horse is then immediately confused and hesitant because he lacks the mental flexibility to adapt to the change in request from the rider. Now, on the flip side, a horse that is mentally supple is able to respond to the rider's forwards aids, respond to the half halt, make turns left or right immediately when asked, bend uniformly left or right at any time, make a transition from one pace to another at any time and place, and move laterally when asked to, and respond instantly to the rider's aids, regardless of the context or location. So now we know what mental suppleness looks like in the horse, what does it look like in the rider? Well, a rider who is not mentally supple will be rigid in their way of thinking. A mentally rigid rider sticks to a particular method of training, and even though the horse is trying to tell them that that approach is not working. Now, in the same instance, the rider cannot see that there may be a different solution to the problem that they are working on. Instead, they persist in trying to make the horse fit the method rather than adjusting the method to suit the horse. Now, a rider who lacks mental flexibility and suppleness will always ride the same exercises in the same place and in the same order. Also, the rider will stick to work that's safe and easy for both them and their horse, never challenging the partnership with something more difficult. Now, instead, the rider should become more mentally supple by finding multiple solutions to every schooling problem. by working to identify the root cause of a schooling problem and making the horse's daily schooling regime interesting and varied, and being ready and able to change their approach when something isn't working. Okay, so now we've talked about what this mental suppleness looks like, how do you go about improving it in both horse and rider? Well, generally, if the rider is mentally supple, then it follows that the horse will be too, because a confident and happy rider will provide their horse with work that's interesting, fun, and presents a challenge that the horse can rise to, but which is still within his capability. Now, as the rider, you can become more supple mentally by improving your knowledge and understanding of basic dressage training principles, such as the scales of training, for example. Now, that knowledge provides you with a reliable framework that you can use to devise schooling exercises and a basic training program for your horse. Now, the more knowledge that you have, the easier it will be for you to step away from a particular line of thought that's not working, often taking a different slant on an aspect of your horse's training will provide the results you've been struggling to achieve. So be prepared to accept that your previous way of thinking may be flawed and try something different. So flexibility here is the key to developing and improving your mental suppleness. Horses are not mechanical creatures. They can change in a moment and you must be able to do the same. Now, although you might begin with a clear schooling plan in your head for the day's session, you must be prepared to go with the flow and change up what you're doing to fit your horse's reaction in that moment. Now, the more supple you are mentally, the easier it will be for you to think outside the box. And by doing so, you can consider an approach or a solution to a particular problem that doesn't necessarily follow a traditional path, but works for you and your horse. Now, another important consideration is not to wait for perfect riding conditions. Because many riders always ride in the safety of their home arena, ideally on a nice day when they have the arena all to themselves and the horse becomes accustomed to that approach. But how often do you arrive at a competition to find less than perfect conditions? Your horse is going to have to face adverse weather, other horses and riders whizzing around the warm-up ring, along with numerous other distractions, all whilst being asked to concentrate on his own work. So, you should practice riding your horse outside in windy and rainy weather, especially if you usually have an indoor school at your disposal. Ride with other horses and make a point of riding away from home sometimes too. All these small things help to develop your horse's mental flexibility so that he can cope with the extraordinary without losing the plot. Now, you also need to be prepared to challenge your horse's mental suppleness. So your horse's mental suppleness will develop more quickly if you challenge him every day with work that stresses him just a little bit. So work out what type, level and duration of stress works best for your horse. Now, some horses get very tense and upset when they're challenged with something new. Now, if that happens, you need to return to your old routine for a few moments until the horse settles. Now, if you begin to introduce stress in very small increments, your horse will happily learn to accept that, because he learns that each of those small doses of stress becomes part of his routine and they're always followed by resolution and relief. Now, on the flip side, horses that are quick to learn and get bored easily usually thrive when you challenge them with something new. Now, all the time, you should still be working your horse within the scales of training, because that shows when you've gone too far and things start to go wrong. And if that happens, then you do need to take a step back. Now, when it comes to deciding how long to labour a particular point, the best tactic is to train for long enough that the horse recognises and partially meets the new challenge. However, don't keep pushing on so that the horse can't recover his equilibrium quickly. Now, provided that the horse learns that he can attempt to meet the challenge with which he is presented, and he will quickly be rewarded for his efforts, all should proceed positively, and the horse won't fear the stress. Now, this principle of presenting your horse with new challenges and small degrees of stress is to teach him to become more mentally flexible and to accept the idea of new work without resistance. Now, before finishing this podcast, I just want to share with you four exercises, which are a few simple little things that you can do to improve your mental suppleness and that of your horse. So, exercise number one is to go back to basics. So, set aside an hour or two every week to read through books on basic dressage principles and training. Think about a problem you're currently having in your schooling sessions, and then work out ways of applying the basic skills of training to that problem and devise exercises to try that are different from your usual regime. And then on your next riding session, try out your new schooling ideas. But be prepared to change the game plan at any time if you feel that things aren't working. Now, exercise number two is to change trainers. Now, many riders stick with the same trainer or instructor for years. Now, although it's a very good idea to have an instructor that knows you and your horse and who you can work with over the long term, don't be afraid of booking lessons with other trainers. Now, often a different pair of eyes can be a massive help in breaking old habits and encouraging you to be more mentally supple. Now, they may pick up on small details that were previously missed, and they may be able to give you new tips and exercises to help you in your schooling. So, look at successful dressage riders in your area, find out who they train with, and book a training session with that person. Now, exercise number three is to look further afield for inspiration. So, Google the problem that you're having with your horse, and you're bound to find instructional videos on that very subject. Check out YouTube videos and podcasts made by foreign trainers and successful dressage riders in different parts of the world, and you can see what approaches they take and then apply their thinking and methods to your own horse. And lastly, exercise number four, which is to change it up. So now it's time to encourage your horse to be more mentally flexible and supple. So start by including lots and lots of transitions and changes of direction in your schooling sessions, and make it a rule that you do not complete one circuit of the arena without making at least, I don't know, six transitions and making at least three changes of direction. Now, make a point of never riding transitions or changes of direction in the same place twice. Now, that approach helps to keep your horse thinking and makes schooling sessions more fun and less repetitive. And then, once the horse's mind is tuned into your aids, he will quickly become more flexible and more able to think on his feet. So, to wrap this episode up, mental suppleness is just as essential to your success as longitudinal and lateral suppleness. Now, it's very easy to get stuck in our comfort zone doing the same things over and over again and not flexing our mental muscles. So work together with your horse and introduce new challenges, exercises, and keep the work varied and interesting. Now, if you have any other hints and tips or questions when it comes to this podcast episode, please feel free to leave us a comment at the bottom of the relevant blog post on our website. And to make sure that you don't miss out on any of our other free stuff, our books, our training diaries and competitions, please don't forget to like and follow us on our other social media platforms, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter and Pinterest. We truly appreciate you for taking the time to listen to our podcast, and we hope that you got a lot from it. For more, don't forget to check out our articles and other free stuff, which is available on our website howtodressage.com, and pop by Amazon for our range of dressage books, planners and diaries to help you stay on track with your competitions and training. Bye for now.